Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Welcome to today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. As we discussed downstairs just a few minutes ago, this is a summer morning because we are now officially in federal government shutdown. And a very unnecessary federal government shutdown. And I want to take a moment to just to thank all of our partners inside of the work and everybody who's stepping up to help Marylanders at this time. I'll be personally addressing the state later on this evening from my office, just to talk about how we got here and what we're doing going forward to make sure that all Marylanders are protected and supported. But to all of our federal workers, I will just very, very briefly say that we've got your back, that you are an invaluable part of this state, of our fabric, that our federal workers are the ones who have raised their hands to serve because this country asked, that our federal workers are the ones who are doing things like making sure that our food is safe, making sure that our critical infrastructure is protected, making sure we can find cures to diseases, making sure that veterans can get the medication that they need when they come home. And I know this is a very challenging time for each of you. But I want to let you know that we here in the state of Maryland don't just honor your service. We are going to protect it and do everything in our power to make sure that thank you for your service cannot just be a throwaway line. That thank you for your service is actually going to mean something. And so to all of our federal workers, we want to say collectively that we thank you for your service. And we want you to know that in Maryland, we don't just lift it up, but we're going to make sure that you know and see how important that service is to each and every one of us. With that, I wanted to just pause and see if any comments from my colleagues as well.
Sure. Thank you, Governor. Thank you for your leadership of Team Maryland in demonstrating what collaboration looks like to support the people who we serve and who elected us. It's shameful that President Trump, along with the Republican-controlled Congress, has brought the work of the federal government to a screeching halt. As a result of this failure in leadership and refusal to negotiate in good faith, in addition to rising costs and inflation over the past 9 months as a result of inflation and tariffs, many furloughed workers are going to find themselves without a paycheck. Hardworking Marylanders and families that rely upon the Supplemental Nutrition Program risk access to their benefits. And as the state comptroller, I think it's important that we quantify as well the direct impact, economic impact of the federal government's dereliction of duty. By refusing to negotiate in good faith, Republicans in Congress are once again punishing innocent Marylanders and Maryland's economy. This is an existential crisis for all of us as a nation, but it's also a deeply personal one here in Maryland. According to the Congressional Budget Office, President Trump's last shutdown caused a loss of an estimated $3 billion in economic activity across the country. By grinding the federal government to a halt, my office estimates that the 2019 shutdown cost Maryland over $13 million a day in economic activity, losing around $550,000 in state revenues daily. As we once again face unprecedented chaos, no one can predict what the financial toll will be this time around. As the comptroller, my agency will work in direct partnership with the Department of Labor, in the Treasurer's Office to ensure that we can process loan payments quickly, expeditiously, and safely for those who apply for them and need them. The human toll continues to mount. It's not just the hundreds of thousands of federal workers and Marylanders in Maryland. Every single Marylander depends on the federal government, and we deserve a functional one. Thank you, Governor, for your leadership in this time of crisis.
Thank you, Priya.
This would be great. I think the governor and the comptroller outlined the situation. I'll just say, as we got talking to Comptroller Learman, we were at a Board of Revenue Estimates meeting, and we were you know, getting numbers together and so forth. And I remember somewhat jokingly telling her, here we go again. Last year, we were on the brink of a federal shutdown. It was averted, but we were there. And I remember telling her then, I said, don't worry, we'll be back here again next year doing the same thing. I was about to say, we'll be here next year doing the same thing as well, but we won't be doing this next year. See, the midterms are up then, and their jobs will be on the line, and their families will be affected. So I promise you that we will avert a shutdown next year. And to me, that just speaks to the selfishness of what we're dealing with. You know, they are, you know, this should be a solemn moment for everybody when the most basic responsibility of funding the government hasn't been met. I know President Ferguson and Speaker Jones would always say that to us when I was in the General Assembly. We really have one job, and that's to pass a budget, and then everything else comes after that. And so when you're at a shutdown, you failed your most basic responsibility. And instead of, you know, accepting that failure, you know, for what it is, we sort of default into the blame game and who's at fault and who's responsible. That's not behavior we should have to accept as American citizens. I mean, hell, we wouldn't even accept that for my children. And yet, you know, here we are. So, you know, I'll leave it there. Like I said, you've seen the numbers. We all know what's going on. But I just think people who have dedicated themselves to public service, to making careers of serving their fellow citizens, they deserve better than this. To always, every year at this time, not showing if there's going to be money to pay the groceries and tuition and all those kinds of things. Not everyone's sitting on a fat 401k or a big bank account. Some people, I mean, it's just how it is. They live paycheck to paycheck, and they're doing the best that they can, and they don't need unnecessary drama just because of ego. So, yeah, I'm about to get started. So, you Governor, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, your leadership, sir. Let's begin with the business of the day. Mr. Secretary, good morning. It's good to see you.
Good morning, Governor. Good to see you, and good morning to you, Madam.
Can I do one thing, Governor? It would be remiss of me, and I'll probably forget if I don't do it now, so forgive me. Sue,
yeah.
A former delegate that came in with me in 1995 after state of 2002. Wasn't quite successful in her bid for a Senate, but then she returned in 2006 for one more term before choosing not to be to run for re-election. For those who knew Sue, she was tremendous. And for those who didn't have the opportunity, I'm sorry. Sue was a tremendous legislator, big on a number of things, but certainly on issues that affect the women in our state. Whether it's being on domestic violence task force or running shelters, all those things, even before she was elected, just tremendous, absolutely great. And I'm sure if you check out the newspapers, you'll see all the wonderful tributes that came in about her leadership, her mentorship of younger delegates. So I was saddened to learn of her passing, but I am better for having known her. So, Governor, forgive me for interrupting, but I did not want to miss the opportunity to recognize Sue.
You're here.
Yeah. And as you're saying, did not have the chance being able to serve with her, but I know we're all benefiting from the leadership she showed. So to her family, may her memory be a blessing. Ms. Secretary.
Good morning to you, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. There are 14 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning and 5 reports of emergency procurements. However, at the request of the Board's Title Wetlands Administrator and the licensed applicant, I'm withdrawing item 9, leaving 13 items on the agenda for consideration this morning, along with the emergency procurement reports.
Is there a special on supervision?
Item 16, is that still on?
There is no 16 on Secretary's agenda.
13.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have it as 16. Forgive me. Has that been withdrawn or is that still in?
Which one, sir? 13, yes, sir. 13, yes, sir. That settlement request from the State Department of Education relating to a contract dispute with GCOM Software is on the agenda, sir.
I want to ask a question on that, because I think I was going to vote against it, or I am going to vote against it for this reason. Unlike other settlements that we do, those are basically court cases. We've state has been taken to court for one reason or another, and we're settling. In this particular case, this was the result of a bill passed by the General Assembly that essentially says that if this situation comes up that, you know, the Maryland State Board of Contract Appeals, that they're supposed to decide it. So, I'm assuming the General Assembly, who I'm representing, are fully aware of what this means, and that they want the Maryland State Board of Contract Appeals to decide on that, decide what the fees should be. So I'm not exactly certain why we're settling something when we set up a process for the purpose of having this particular board render the decision. It's not like it's going before the judiciary, and we don't know. They specifically passed a bill from Senator Charles and Delegate Kerr, and it was passed overwhelmingly by the Assembly that they want the Board of Contract Appeals to decide. So if we're settling it, we didn't really need that bill.
I'm actually, is there someone we can ask questions of?
Sure. Let me see if I can find a representative on the line. And is Deputy Superintendent Teller here?
Yes.
Let me see if I can get the Mr. Dunkler from the Attorney General's office.
Good morning, Commissioner. Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Deputy Superintendent Christian Schlur for MSDE.
With him is Alan Dunklow, Assistant Attorney General.
Are we settled?
We had, so when this particular case was in front of the Board of Contract Appeals and the MSBCA found that the vendors in this case did not get equal treatment for some technical issues that were raised by one of the vendors. It is my understanding that there were no regulations in place to issue the settlement from MSBCA. So the attorneys for the vendors sent the invoice to MSDE, and our Attorney General's office worked with their attorneys to determine the appropriate nature of the charges and settle or agree upon an invoice that was about $100,000 lower than what was originally submitted. If such a decision were to be made today, there are processes in place that would determine the costs, and it would be handled in a different way, is my understanding. So since those processes were not in place, and this case took place during the transition of when the bill was passed and the appropriate processes were put in place, we entered into the settlement and bringing for the approval.
Was this simply a one-off and going?
That is correct.
It won't be brought before the board, but the Board of Contract Appeals will be dealing with that, or will we be potentially dealing with future settlements or increased settlements, because the governor has an issue with settlements. He just has this thing. So, that's what I'm asking. Is this a one-off?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So one of the unique pieces of this legislation is that previously attorney's fees were only available for contract claims, which means that you'd already had an appropriated contract amount. These come during the bid protest phase, and so it's a little bit different because there's not money or an existing contract from which to pay those. And so this was treated as a settlement over $10,000 under the state government article. And so that's why we're coming to BPW.
That's helpful. Sure. Yeah.
Thank you. So we'll keep that in. And so any other questions on the Secretary's agenda? May I have a motion to move the Secretary's agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Ms. Secretary. We will proceed with the Department of Natural Resources, Secretary Kurtz. Good morning.
Morning, sir. Good morning, Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, Josh Kurtz, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. The department has 13 items on our agenda for your consideration today. Myself and my colleagues are available if you have any questions.
Great. Thank you so much. I actually, I'm excited to be able to have the opportunity to recognize this special occasion where not often do we get a chance to celebrate an admiral. And also have a chance to award something that is one of the most prestigious awards that we have here in the state of Maryland, because just over 100 Marylanders have ever received the award of the Admiral of the Chesapeake Bay Award. And that is only around 100 since its inception in 1959. And we are absolutely honored today to have the chance to present our newest recipient of this extraordinary award, where admirals have been historically selected by the governor and the Secretary of Natural Resources without public input. But this year, we put in a new process. We're saying, let's actually hear from the people and who the people think should be the person who is most deserving. And so we put in a new public nomination process and work closely with our with the remarkable work with our Secretary and the Department of Natural Resources to determine the most deserving winner, and we are proud to say that and it wasn't close that today it is my honor to name Dr. Thomas Miller as the newest Admiral of the Chesapeake Bay. Dr. Miller is a longtime professor at the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Sciences, their founding campus, and the Chesapeake Biological Laboratory. And we are also honored to be here also by UMSI's president, Dr. Fernando Morales Wilhelm. Great to see you again, and thank you so much. Honored to have you here. And as a researcher, Dr. Miller's work has played an incredible role in developing the modern scientific understanding and management of Maryland's crab, Maryland's oyster, and other commercial fisheries. That his prestigious service in the Bi-State Blue Crab Advisory Committee strengthened the cooperative blue crab fishery that exists today between Maryland and Virginia, or as we call them in Maryland, Southern Maryland. And as a professor, Dr. Miller has educated hundreds of students about ecosystems, about modern environmental challenges, about improving the health of the Chesapeake Bay, and making sure that our state truly honors one of the great heirlooms that we all have. And it is his dedication to science, his passion for the environment, his dedication to education and training the next generation as well, and his leadership in the Mid-Atlantic fisheries and the research communities that has truly, truly improved our Chesapeake Bay in a way that generations will know your work, and also generations will know your name. And so we are truly grateful, and we'd like to invite you, Admiral, to come and join you and your family as well, and come take a picture of both the Comptroller and the Treasurer as well. Yep.
Thank you.
Mr. Bruce, right here, please. Look up here.
And 1, 2, 3. Thank you.
Congratulations again. Now, with that, is there any further discussion on the DNR agenda? May I have a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. And congratulations again to you. Thank you. Next up, we have the University System of Maryland. Mr. Hickey, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Tom Hickey, representing University System of Maryland. There are three items on the agenda. I am withdrawing item 2S. Happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions on the USM agenda?
No.
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much. Thank you. We will proceed with the MDOT agenda. Mr. Donsky, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. We're recommending Ms. Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 12 agenda items for your consideration, and we have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Any discussion on the MDOT agenda?
Nope.
Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you. And we will conclude with the DGS agenda. I know the Secretary is shopping, so Madam Deputy Secretary Nagash Nash, great to see you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, my name is Chichi Nyaga Nash. I'm the Deputy Secretary of the Department of General Services. Today, the department presents 55 items, including one hand carry for the Public Service Commission for the implementation of the Next Generation Energy Act. We are withdrawing four items, 28S, 53EX, 54S, and 55LT supplemental. Our agenda features 26 grant and loan capital grants and loans totaling over $20 million. I'd like to highlight item 9, which provides $3 million to the Maryland Science Center in Baltimore City for capital improvements and greening efforts tied to their 50th anniversary. I also would like to highlight two library projects that are on the agenda today. Items 19 and 22 provide construction and renovation dollars to the Tacoma Park Library and Community Center in Montgomery County and to Baltimore City's Enoch Pratt Library in their Park Heights branch. Keeping an eye on our minority business participation, our agenda includes four contract award modifications to certified minority businesses totaling more than $9.3 million. Agency representatives are available to answer any questions that you might have about our DGS agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Secretary Mayor Nash. And I understand we have a speaker request this morning. And so in the interest of time, I would just ask that our speakers would limit their comments to no more than 3 minutes. And as Secretary, if you could just help serve as timekeeper on that. First, we have a speaker request for item 2, which request to award a $1.1 million capital grant to the Maryland Hall for the Creative Arts for infrastructure renovations and maintain. It helped to maintain and increase the vital arts programming in the Maryland Hall. And I'd like to recognize Caitlin Romer from the Development Coordinator from Maryland Hall, who will join us in person to speak.
Governor, Ms. Romer is actually virtual.
She's virtual. There she goes.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you for letting me speak. This is so exciting, but I'm here to speak in support of Maryland Hall's Bond Bill 24212, request for infrastructure modernization. The funding will help us upgrade our aging HVAC systems and complete key theater renovations. Currently, our antique boiler system and 57 air conditioning units are insufficient to heat and cool our historic building, which was built in 1932. As summers grow hotter, we've had 116 days plus of programming lost to sound bleed in our theater. And this infrastructure upgrade would allow us to modernize and better serve our community. They would also effectively double our performance capacity. And we are proposing a variable refrigerated flow system, which would help maintain our building even in the colder months. Thank you for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you so much, Ms. Romer, and thank you for the work that that you and everyone down at Maryland Hall are doing. We really appreciate it. Thank you. I would next like to highlight a few other capital grants that we've had come in this morning. Item 5 was your request to award $500,000 capital grant to the town of Williamsport over in Washington County for repairs and site improvements of the Williamsport Memorial Library. Item 19 is a request to award $5 million in capital to the Enoch Pratt Free Library in Baltimore City to construct an 18,000 square foot public library that will serve in the Park Heights community of Baltimore. Item 22 is a request to award $125,000 capital grant to the City of Tacoma Park, Montgomery County, please, for redevelopment of the Tacoma Park, Maryland Library and Community Center, including the reconstruction of a new 17,000 square foot library and a computer center within the community. The reason I wanted to just to very briefly highlight a few of those is, as I have said before on multiple occasions, I just believe deeply that our libraries and our library system are really the heartbeat of our neighborhoods and our communities. That they, you know, both serve as a place of educational advancement, but they really are, in many ways, places of community gathering. They're places of community support. There are places where our communities can have their voices heard. And so by being able to continue to support the library systems and infrastructure that we have in the state, I think that is going to be incredibly important as we think about our work going forward. And I would like to very quickly highlight item 20, which is a request to award $1.3 million grant to the Cross Community Incorporated. And that will be to support the construction of a new early childhood development center over in Montgomery County. This is a community empowerment nonprofit that is committed to advancing unity and equity and also racial reconciliation that we have in Montgomery County. And it provides a whole series of services to include youth mental health services and supports, distribution services to combat food insecurity inside of neighborhoods, tax preparation for the neighbors that are there. And it has identified a need to just to have increased quality childcare infrastructure, specifically for low-income members of Montgomery County. And so today's grant is really going to help them to open and to operate the Well Center, which is a new early childhood development center that will serve 200 children through in-house services and also with at-home extension care. Projects like this are when we talk about leave no one behind, what that means, what it looks like. And seeing the community get together and rally behind it, we think is just incredibly, incredibly important. And so we're grateful for this work and for the support that they're all doing for the community at large. With that, I know Madam Comptroller has also some questions on the DGS agenda as well.
Oh, sure. I'd just like to remove item 26 before we vote, which is a request to grant a temporary exception for 1 year from the automatic termination of funding for a bond bill authorization. And then we have a lot of exciting CGLs. I also saw we have the CEO of the Science Center here. Hello, thank you so much for all your work and stewardship of our public dollars. I did have a couple of questions about the DJS awards. So I'm not sure if somebody's here from DJS. No, not. I knew I had these questions.
Sorry, Madam Comptroller, I was not prepared for the DJS questions.
Okay. I will still vote for them, but I have a lot of questions about how they're measuring outcomes. So I'd like to, we'll set up a meeting with them prior to their them coming.
And I'm sorry, before we do that, yep. Drake, are we getting people? We should have Ron Colbert virtually, so I'm getting him.
With 5 requests from DJS to award contracts to provide community rehabilitation services for youth, are in the Baltimore Capital and Central regions. They have a tremendously positive impact. Particularly, I know the ones in Baltimore through strategic partnerships with organizations like ROCA. I do not have concerns about the work, but I am curious about, you know, one of the things that isn't addressed in the backup material that we have is how the department is measuring, or if the department could explain some of the metrics utilized to measure success and desired outcomes. So I'm not sure if you heard that. Hi, thanks for being with us.
Good morning. I also believe Deputy Acting Secretary Betsy Fox Tarantino should be joining me as well. My name is Ronald Colbert. I am Director of Procurement for Department of Juvenile Services. We did receive your questions in regards to metrics. I'm not sure. Betsy, is she able to?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Madam Secretary. Great to hear you, even though we don't see you. Thank you so much for your work at this agency. Excited you're there. I've had the pleasure of working with you in the past. And I just wondered if you could talk about, we didn't have a chance to talk before this meeting. So I wondered if you could talk a little bit about or explain to us the metrics that you use to measure success and desired outcomes as we fund these programs.
Yes, and good morning. Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. And I'm sorry, my camera button is not available for me right now. Perfect. So I'm sorry you don't see me. But yes, measuring outcomes for these programs is incredibly important to us and to making sure that we are implementing our Thrive initiative, which is our gun violence reduction strategy with fidelity. We will be looking at mainly as outcomes, whether or not the young people engaged in the programs are not continuing to be engaged in violent crime and are not perpetrators or victims of violent crime. Also looking at whether or not the young people engaged in these programs have been re-engaged and active in school or workforce development programs, as well as behavioral change metrics such as emotional regulation and receiving trauma-informed interventions. To help us measure these larger outcomes, programs will provide reports to DJS each week. And those reports are going to help measure the level of engagement that young people are connecting to. That's going to look at the weekly contacts, the weekly group sessions, the weekly pro-social activities, as well as the weekly intervention strategies such as CBT, restorative justice, or other trauma-informed interventions that the programs provide.
That's great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your stewardship of these tax dollars in a way that leads to better outcomes for our young people in Maryland. Thanks for answering the question. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then item 56S, I just wanted to note, is an important first step in the work to address our growing energy crisis. My understanding is that the consultant will assist the PSC with, among other things, the procurement of transmission level energy storage devices. And of course, establishing energy storage capacity is a critical component for improving grid reliability, stabilizing and potentially reducing electricity costs and meeting our clean energy goals. So I commend our partners in the General Assembly and the Governor for passing the Next Generation Energy Act and the PSC for moving swiftly to abide by the statutory deadlines. Thank you, Governor.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And if there's no further discussion, Ms. Secretary, let's pull item 26 for a separate vote. So why don't we take that up first. On this item, may I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay. I will second. So the item passes 2-1 with the comptroller voting in the negative. On the remainder of the DGS agenda, may I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
And is there a second?
Second.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Great. Thank you so much. And this concludes the meeting for the Board of Public Works. The next meeting is October 22nd. Thank you all, and meeting adjourned.